Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thought for our meditation tonight, we'd look into the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, and read from verse 11 through verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, reading from chapter 17. And we'll read from verse 11 of that chapter. So once again, that's chapter 17 of Luke. We can begin reading tonight from verse 11, and we read as follows in the name of our Lord. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go your way. Your faith hath made you whole. Amen. Father, sanctify us in the truth. For your word is indeed the truth. Amen. Leprosy was a terrible disease that afflicts actually a lot of people even yet today in some of the, like the continent of Africa and so on. There's other areas as well, but Africa in particular, I think maybe even into some of the other third world countries like India where they still deal with this disease of leprosy. And I know perhaps we've heard about leprosy before, but leprosy was an awful disease, and it is an awful disease. It was a disease that affected the nerves. As they studied it, they realized that it wasn't just a skin disease, it actually affected the nerves within the body. And one of the worst things about leprosy was that leprosy actually took away your feeling. So in other words, if the leprosy got into your hand and began to affect those nerves, you could literally stick your hand into a pot of boiling water and you wouldn't even feel it. All the feeling was completely gone. And so this actually was a great deal of difficulty for a lot of the people, and it is, as I mentioned today as well, where when you are afflicted with a disease like this, just simply that alone would cause you to have a lot of problems as you go through life. There's a really gross story that goes with this as well, but I don't know if it needs to be shared or not. I guess I said it, and now everybody's curious. But one of the problems, another thing that actually happens with leprosy is people who have this disease have been known to be sleeping and having rats actually eating their fingers. And they never even feel it. It was a terrible disease. But one of the big things about leprosy within the scriptures is, perhaps you know, is leprosy is very much akin to sin. Sin is a terrible disease. Leprosy affects a lot of people. It has affected a lot of people over time and still affects some as we've talked. But sin actually affects everyone. There isn't anyone who finds himself as they live here in this world exempt from sin. Sin has come into this world, as you know, through the fall of Adam in the garden and has wreaked havoc upon the human race all over the place. You see the effects of it. You see the effects of it within our government, within our people as they go about doing the things they do, all of the awful things that human beings do to one another. And all of this is an effect of sin. our own evil inclinations within our hearts. You and I who live in this world know what it's like to battle with sin. Sin rears its ugly head from the moment we lift our head off the pillow very often as we begin to make our way through our days. And this is really a very key point to what is going on within this parable. It's not just that, but very often leprosy is akin to that. And so when we preach these things as preachers, we very often will correlate an incident like this with sin. Leprosy affected and was a terrible, terrible disease. And these men who were gathered here, when they seen Jesus, perhaps had heard of him healing a leprous man already earlier in the Gospel of Luke. In the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you read there that a leper comes up to Jesus and says basically this: if you want to heal me, you can. And he says, well, yeah, I want to. And he reaches out and he touches him and he heals the man. But another very terrible thing about leprosy was this. The people who became lepers in the ancient world were separated from society. If you became a leper, for instance, if one of you who was a father here tonight became a leper, you would be separated from your wife, from your children. You would be driven out of the camp, out of the city, and you would have to go live with other people who had the same disease. Because it was a contagious disease and people were worried and nobody wanted it. So if you came down with this disease, you actually had a nice little plight in life. And you can read about this in Leviticus. In Leviticus, when the priest declared you to be a leprous person, you had to then go about, and if anybody came anywhere near you, you were to yell, unclean, unclean. That was your lot in life. So you would wander around begging for food or whatever you would have to do, but nobody could get too close to you, because if they did, you had to immediately cry out. And God's law told them this. This is what they had to do. You had to yell this out by the command of God. You are unclean. Don't come anywhere near me. And sin has the same kind of effect, doesn't it? Now, you and I don't walk around running, yelling unclean. Maybe we should at times. But sin separates. Sin divides. Sin divides families. It separates husbands from wives and parents from children and children from their own siblings and so on and relatives. And all around this world, you see the effects of this. Divorce, all of these things that take place in our land, all of it is the effect of sin. It's leprosy. And it's crept in to such a large degree that we see the effects of it all over the place. And this is exactly what these men were dealing with. You can imagine if you were a leper and this was your lot in life. Imagine if we were all lepers tonight. And so there's just a small group of us here tonight, but nobody else would come here because we're all lepers. Nobody wants to rub elbows with us. We're diseased. Why would they want to come on here and rub elbows with diseased people? There very often we as the Christian church, we begin to look around us at the world and we see them simply as disease. We forgot that we carry the same disease. And this is what took place in this society. People didn't care about these lepers. They seen them simply as being cursed by God. If you had a leprosy, well, you must have sinned some great sin, so therefore God was punishing you. And that was just the way it was until Jesus came onto the scene and began to do something that was unheard of, because he began to offer compassion to these people. As I already quoted out of Luke, when the leper runs up to him and says, if you can heal me, please do. These 10 lepers who are standing here as Jesus makes his way, as it tells us in our passage, as he went to Jerusalem, remember, this is when Jesus was making his way, as it were, toward the center cross of Calvary. He passes through the midst or the area of Samaria and Galilee, and these 10 men are standing there, and they recognize him immediately. And they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Do you know that actually in some churches in their liturgy, this is what they use? These same words. As they corporately worship God, this is one of the parts of their worship. They call out in unison, "Lord, have mercy on us." Well, why would they do that? Because they recognize themselves to be sinners. These lepers knew that they had no hope, and all of a sudden this man, who they perhaps had heard stories of all of the healing that had already taken place prior to this, when he steps into the scene and they recognize him, they immediately recognize, here's one who can change our plight. "Lord, have mercy on us." "Master, have mercy on us." And that still, my friends, remains the cry of our heart. Well, why would I say that? Because we remain sinners. We are sinners in this world. And as we move through this world, we remain sinners. And therefore, we are deserving of the wrath of God. And so when we hear words such as this, they actually have meaning for us, or they ought to. If you sit here tonight and think you don't need the mercy of God anymore, God help you to recognize once again you need His mercy. His mercy, as the psalmist tells us, is new every morning. Every morning when I wake up, I bank on the mercy of God. I have nothing else to bank on. I can't bank on my efforts. I can't bank on anything that I perhaps could do righteously that day. I bank on the mercy of God, and I recognize out of the Scriptures that His mercy is new every morning. And as I go through my days and my weeks, and recognize my tremendous need, very often the only thing I got left to say is, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy." It's not a bad thing, my friends. It's not a bad thing to be calling on the mercy of dear God. This is what He expects. These 10 men, they all called on for the mercy of this man. And he says when he sees them, and I love this part. It says, "And when he saw them." Jesus saw them. Now this may seem like a small thing, but you have to remember, as Jesus is making His way toward Jerusalem, He was assailed all of the time by people. Crowds were thronging about Him. People were crying to Him, asking Him to heal them and or answer various questions. The Pharisees were pelting Him with questions in regards to the law, and He was dealing with all of this as He made His way along this journey. And there's these 10 men, lepers, who can't come anywhere close to that gathering because they are unclean. They cry out from wherever they were standing, "Lord, have mercy on us." And He sees them. Because that is the gracious nature of our God. Our God hears that cry every time. "Lord, have mercy on me." And He does. The Scripture tells us it's a humble and a contrite heart that He hears. The proud and the haughty He pushes or shoves away. Why? Well, because they have no need of Him. They don't understand the mercy and the grace of God. And too often, that's exactly what, or that's really what has taken place in this great land of America. We think we don't need God anymore. Somehow or another, we've become so brilliant and smart, we've got things figured out. I know how to get this done. Why do I need God in anything? To the point where they're going to take God off of our money and all of this stuff. You hear all of this stuff over and over again. And you think to yourself, how foolish. And the psalmist actually tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are fools. And they have committed the greatest of folly, because they've turned from the one who has redeemed them. You see, there's a very interesting thing that takes place within this narrative, within this account, this story. It says, Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. Because in Leviticus 14, if a leper was seen to be cleansed, if he somehow was healed, then he could go show himself to the priest. The priest would examine him, and then he would say, yes, this man is now cleansed or healed of this disease. And he would have to go through a process of sacrifice and so on for God. You can read of that in Leviticus 14. It's a long passage. So Jesus tells them, go show yourself. And I find it interesting that all 10 of them left. I find it interesting that when he says, go show yourselves to the priest, not one of them says, well, what? You can't go there. They all turned and left. And as they begin to make their way toward the priest, wherever he was, whether he was in the temple, I don't know where he was at this point, every one of them was healed. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And only one of them seems to recognize his God. I don't know why, but I think there's a very important lesson for us within this. The one man turns back, and he wasn't even a Jewish man. The Jewish people, as you know, were the children of God. God had placed his mark upon Abraham. He had marked these people out as his own. He had given them the covenant of circumcision. They were God's own, and they didn't even recognize him. John tells us this in his gospel as well. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But this Samaritan, this half-breed, this person of most whom the Jews despise, recognized his God. Recognized where this healing come from, because it says he turns and with a loud voice begin to glorify God. I heard one man preach his text, and he said it this way, and I thought it was quite fitting. He said, this one man represents the true church. The true church, the church of Jesus Christ, recognizes where its healing comes from. The grace of God is for the entirety of the world, all people everywhere. When Jesus died on the cross, received this forgiveness, but not all people everywhere have received it by faith. And that's really the big difference. This man turns and glorifies God. He falls down on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he gives him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. All people have been affected by sin. All across this great land that we call America, and all around this globe, every one of us are lepers simply because of the fall. But the ones who have come to Jesus Christ, the ones who have come to him in faith, have recognized where their healing has come from, and they have come and they now bring glory and honor to God. They recognize where mercy and healing and forgiveness and grace comes from. It comes from no other place. This one man represents the true church. The church that recognizes its Savior, its Lord, who preaches the message of the risen Lord Jesus to the world, who preaches of His cross and of His suffering and His death and the payment that was made for their sin. This is the one church. Jesus says, well, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, how come there's only one here? Where is the other 9? Where are they? And this could perhaps be an indictment against the Jewish people. Jesus dealt many times with various Pharisees. The Pharisees actually already back in chapter 16 were deriding him and causing a lot of grief for him and challenging him. I think this really gives to us a very important lesson, though, on the grace of God. The grace of God knows no bounds. All of these men were healed. All 10 of them. I don't think their leprosy came back because they didn't turn around and praise God. No, it says their leprosy was cleansed. They were clean, every one. It's just that they didn't recognize their Savior. Jesus says a very important thing at the end of this text. Jesus says these words first in verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Luke actually does this quite often in his gospel. He talks about the Gentiles being saved often, and this is kind of what Luke is known for, is ministering to the Gentile people. And here he does this again with this narrative. It is these people, it is us who are non-Jewish, who have received the grace of God and by faith believe it, who come and give glory and honor and praise to God. He says to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Did the other 9 have faith? He tells this Samaritan, he says, go your way, your faith has made you whole. What about the other 9? They were cleansed. They listened to the words of this man, Jesus, who told them, hey, go over and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, their disease was gone. But they missed out on something very, very important. This man, this Samaritan, was cleansed more than just his physical body. He received the healing touch of God. He received salvation. Jesus says, your faith has saved you. It has made you whole. To be made whole means that everything has been repaired. Not only your physical body, but your eternal soul as well. The penalty of sin has now been taken away from you. And you see, that's really the difference for us. I started off telling you all, and I know you all know this, but maybe we need to be reminded once in a while. We are sinners. And as we move through this world, we remain sinners from the very time we begin to breathe the air to the time that our air stops coming into our lungs and we die. We are sinners, always in need of the grace of God, always crying out for His mercy and recognizing through the gospel that mercy is ours. It's not a vain cry, my friends. I'm not trying to tell you tonight that as you go through your life and cry for mercy, you're doing it hoping that somehow God will hear you. No. You already know by the strength of God's word that he has heard you and he has healed you. The rest of this story tells you that. Christ went all the way. He finished this journey to Jerusalem. He went all the way to the center cross of Calvary, and they dragged him to the cross and nailed him there. And he writhed in pain and agony, bearing the sins of this entire world and paying the payment completely in full. And you and I now, who look unto Jesus Christ, who know who he is and his wisdom, who fear God and follow after him, understand this to be the truth. We look unto Jesus. I love how the Hebrew writer talks about this. The Hebrew writer says this in the 12th chapter, and you're very familiar with this as well, but wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what this leper seen. This leprous man who suffered in the flesh with his leprosy seen his Savior. It wasn't just any old miracle worker walking down the road that dusty, dry day, if it was that, which we assume it is. It was none other than God himself encountering his creation. Encountering his creation in all of its ugliness, and all of its horror, and all of its blackness and darkness, and offering to it grace and forgiveness and life. These men, these nine who turned from him and went to the priest, they did it in obedience, yes. But they never encountered, at least not in this passage, the grace of God. God only knows what happened to them after that. But this Samaritan, who was so hated, as we read of in the scripture, by the Jewish people, recognized. Because our God is a gracious God. And he's a God of mercy. And as he walked in the flesh in this world and encountered his fallen race of people, he loved them. He loved them tremendously. And he demonstrated all of this love for you and for me by going to the center cross of Calvary and dying there to take away my blackness and your blackness, and to give unto us his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, to shower us with his blood. And as one man said, when that blood marks your heart, there is no laundry detergent that can ever scrub that away, because that's eternal. And that'll be there until the day that you and I enter in through the pearly gates, if there's, well, I mean, Revelation talks about it, so. That's our ticket. That's our acceptance. That's what we bank on, is the mercy and the grace of our God, who loves sinners. He loves sinners. You don't have to be ashamed of being a sinner tonight. God loves sinners. Just admit who you are and move forward, understanding his forgiveness, his grace, and his love, and confess your faults one to another, because that's what he tells us to do for our own good, so that we can move through this life and live as the church ought to live, showing the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of our God. May God help us to do so. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. We thank you tonight, Father, that you indeed are a gracious and a merciful God. And so therefore, Father, even as we read in that marvelous book to the Hebrews, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Boldness, Father, because we know it is the only place where we can find hope and rest and cleansing and mercy and grace. So, Father, open the eyes of this nation. Open the eyes of this world. Help them to see the error of their ways. Help them to see the blackness of their own soul. And reveal unto them, Father, your grace, your forgiveness. Help us who are your people, that we, Father, also would continue to walk under the shadow of that cross. And that, Father, we would look to you daily for our provision, for our help, for our strength, laying everything aside and simply moving as you would lead us and instruct us. So, Father, bless us as we go from here. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.